You're listening to the People's Podcast.
We want the gold, sucker! Hulk Hogan, we coming for you!
On thingsdezsays.net.
I'm Al Nazgoth. Doth me dien me. Accept the Lord of Darkness as your savior. Allow the purity of evil to guide you.
Like a thief in the night, it came, it hurt us all, and it went. We're shaking off the WrestleMania 30 hangover on the People's Podcast. Happy Monday to you, wherever you are. I hope you're recuperating from last night's festivities. I know for us, you may never be the same again after last night.
I'm seriously questioning whether I can keep watching now.
It's hard.
We'll get to it.
I was talking to a couple people on Twitter, and if you're listening to this and you're coming over from the comedy side because it's WrestleMania and maybe let's listen to the show about the biggest show of the year, it's going to seem silly to you that we're this emotionally drained about a wrestler losing at a show. It's hard to put into words to the non-fan what and how effectively this thing for The Undertaker has been going for the last 21, over 20 years, because there are some WrestleManias he missed, but the fact that he's been undefeated at the show for so long, and now that it's over, it's like that was the one constant, in wrestling, and now that's gone.
Well, this is it. There are very few constants in the wrestling world, and The Undertaker winning at WrestleMania is one of those. It's all a lot of people have ever known.
Yes. For me, he's been undefeated since before I was alive.
Well, this is it. And not since I was alive, but since I was 3 years old.
That's right.
And The Undertaker not... even he might not even be... That might have been his last WrestleMania.
Very well could have.
That could have been it.
Yeah, there are stories, there are theories going on. But regardless, the decision for him to lose ultimately was his, I'm sure. But the same, it's it hurts in a lot of ways. And it was very surprising. There are a lot of things, looking at it from an insider's perspective, or just from a political standpoint, there are a lot of reasons why this really doesn't make sense, but why it could be made to make sense. But we'll theorize
this as we go on.
Yeah, as we go on. I just wanted to bring that up at the start, because I think although WrestleMania ended the way people have wanted it to for months, it left a bitter taste in the end, because that's one of those things that you can't prepare for.
It's one of those things that I put this on Facebook this morning, to where I said, there are very few times where I'm glad Mania weekend is over.
Yes.
But I'm glad it's over. It's one of those where I would sometimes, like, previous Manias, go back, like, the day after and watch the show, see if I missed anything. I can't even download it.
It's hard. It's hard, man. You can't go back and you can't rewatch this for a long time. But as WrestleMania goes, a WrestleMania is supposed to give people something to talk about, something very emotional, and I think in that sense they knocked it out of the park this time.
Oh, they sure did, and they changed the game. We haven't had a moment like even the Shawn Michaels retirement didn't feel as bad as this, if that makes any sense. And I love Shawn.
Yeah, for me the Ric Flair thing made me bawl like a baby, but this in a way was. I didn't shed a tear for this, but it hurt more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because it was so unexpected. We genuinely, like, what?
Yeah, because, I mean, I did expect Ric Flair to retire at that WrestleMania. I expected.
Yeah, we all knew that was going to happen.
It still really hurt me, but this was something completely different.
It was like, the sucker punches where you kind of have the breath knocked out of you for a while. It's like, yeah.
He hit that third F5, and he pinned him. And the thing is, he pinned him. It was like there wasn't even a reaction when he hit the F5. It was a cold move.
Yeah.
And then he pinned him, and they counted three. And then it took a split second, and then everyone went, oh, like, what?
Like, the announcers didn't even sell it. They're like, yeah. And I looked at my brother. My brother was sitting here with me. And I looked at him and went, he had his foot on the rope, right? He must, something must have happened. His foot must be on the rope.
Yeah, the dusty finish or something. I was praying for that, man.
Like, something must have, he can't be in the middle of the ring. He must be by a rope. Or there was an illegal object. I don't know what. I was kind of grasping at straws.
Yeah. It's a fake Undertaker or something.
Yeah, that, you know, they did something. There's some evilness going on here.
Yeah.
But it was nothing. And it kind of blew me away for a bit. Like,
it was really hard. And then the thing that really bothered me was the fact that they did that match, and then they followed it immediately with the Divas match. It was like, really? It almost, like, I understand putting your show together and their mentality and structuring the wrestling shows, but it felt a little disrespectful to me in a way.
I'm not going to disrespect Daniel Bryan, because what happened later on was meant to happen, but if they were going to break the streak, part of me wishes they did it in the main event.
Absolutely. I was texting Rudy, Rudy Chinchilla, who works on this website, and it is a huge Daniel Bryan fan, bigger Daniel Bryan fan than I'll ever be. And I just said, Daniel Bryan can't catch a break. He's finally getting his moment to win the championship in the main event of WrestleMania, but the worst timing in the world, because you've got the legendary Undertaker having his streak broken on the same show. That's going to overshadow anything else you do on this show.
And the thing is, right, and I know these wrestling fans are very conspiratorial. They look for a conspiracy. I don't think there is one in this case.
No. I don't think so. I made the joke on Twitter last night that the conspiracy theorists were going to come out in arms, that they did this specifically for Daniel Bryan to not get his WrestleMania moment, and for people to not care, and for them to justify and say, well, we did everything we could. We gave him the title at WrestleMania and people didn't cheer for him, and then pull the rug out from under him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's saying that in their nerd voices, by the way.
Yeah. See, I can't even, don't have the energy to do that.
Yeah. They're not here today.
They're not.
But it wasn't that, guys. It was just, they have an idea and I don't know what it is.
What the idea is, we don't know, because after the show, he left in an ambulance.
He did. He legitimately left in an ambulance after the show, which is scary, because going in, we were joking that Brock Lesnar could break the Undertaker, and I think he left with a possible concussion and a possible neck injury, which is very scary.
Yeah, and he left on his own power. I mean, he walked out, but then whatever happened backstage must have scared them enough to take an ambulance.
There's a lot of speculation right now, and I think that's the most fun part of wrestling, is being able to speculate. I haven't read an Observer in a month, so I was able to speculate a lot about WrestleMania and things like that too. But now that it's over, there's a lot of speculation going on as to what the next step is for The Undertaker.
They can't do the Sting match anymore.
Well, there's one particular theory floating around that I do want to talk about a little bit later on, that I hope happens, and I wonder what you think about it, but we'll get to it in a little while. I want to talk about the rest of the weekend for us, because it was when you have WrestleMania,
it was a great
weekend.
It's wonderful.
Again, it's like Christmas and the Super Bowl and the World Series all wrapped into 3 days for wrestling fans, because you have every company in the world that's worth its salt, including New Japan, holding
TNA, because
holding
show. They're not worth anything.
They're not. What's below salt? They're not even worth that. They're not even worth dust at this point.
Well, quite.
Every company gets together and they have a big show. And that was the case, man. I even got you to stay up late and watch some of these shows with me.
I watched two of them.
Yes.
I didn't watch all of them because,
it's hard in the UK because they have these random start times. And sometimes where for us is they start like at 1 a.m. or.
And then with Kaiju, they start at 5 to 6 a.m. Hey.
Yeah. And you didn't. I'm glad I didn't convince you to stay up for Kaiju or wake up early for Kaiju, because the stream died in the middle.
Oh, there you go.
There was no dying and no problems for any of the WWN live shows this weekend except for Kaiju.
No, me and Gabe are going to have words, though. If he tells me 9 p.m., I want my show starting at 9 p.m.
Yeah. That's indie wrestling for you.
Absolutely.
Try going to a PWG show when they tell you the show starts at 8. You don't even show up until 9 because you know It's not going to start at 8.
See, that's our new game now. We guess how long it's going to take for Gabe to put up that screen.
Yes, and get people in the building and
yeah,
all those things.
Although you know what, the Friday show I wasn't feeling that much. I didn't. I was like, it was a show.
I felt bad. I made you spend your 15, and it wasn't as fun of because I didn't think it was going to be a great show. I thought it was going to be a fun show. It wasn't even that fun, except for one match we got. This was a Wrestling Odyssey, by the way. This was, I think, the second The second show they had on WWNLive.com this weekend. And Timothy Thatcher and Drew Gulak, who is the CZW champion, he defended his title against Tim Thatcher in a British, it was basically a World of Sport match.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Oh, man, that was so good. I love that match.
It was
so
a great
perfect.
Match. It was fun.
It was
except
fun.
Except for the announcers can't count.
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing. You Brits, man, you have a lot of math involved in your wrestling, which, I mean.
Yeah, but you know what ruined I really enjoyed that match. I really liked the way they executed it, but the announcers really need to keep up. Like, how do you lose count?
Yeah. It's like have a note card or something, man. Keep your stuff straight. But I thought they told a great story in the ring. It was just so good. And then,
I love the crowd. I love the indie crowds too. Like everything is fun to them.
Yes, the idea of the public warning was
yes.
Like, they're like ooh, it was awesome. But after the at the next show, the Dragon Gate show, Drew Gulak was still selling his injury, which I thought, what?
That's interesting.
This is new.
Into promotional
indie wrestlers remembering to sell things. I'm shocked. PWG should take notes.
Quite.
But anyway, that was the highlight for me of that show. And then there was other things that happened on that show too. And again, I want people to, if you want full detailed results of everything that happened this weekend, including WrestleMania, including the Invasion Attack show from New Japan, go to pwponderings.com. They
covered everything.
They don't sleep over there. It's ridiculous.
No.
They had random ass shows in Easton, Pennsylvania this weekend. They're covered. It's just
absolutely. By the way,
they don't sleep.
This didn't happen on the WrestleMania weekend, but the week before, Styles and Elgin tore it down.
Yes, they did. That finally came out on Ring of Honor TV. Holy hell, that was good. What did you think of the finish though for that match?
I didn't like the finish
yeah.
at all. I wanted a clean finish.
I hope they build for a rematch. Although it's tough because the rumors are that AJ signed with New Japan. I really do hope they do something about that finish, though, because they were trying to build Cole and Briscoe, which was
which is obvious.
But they also set it up like, well, these guys, they need to fight again, like they have to, in like a no disqualification environment or something.
It reminds you just how good AJ is.
It does, and it shows you what Elgin is going to be, if not
exactly
what he is already. Because he's already awesome, man.
Highlight of the show is Steve Corino.
Yeah, Steve Corino running to get Adam Cole coffee.
Yes.
Yeah, they added some good stuff on that show, and they built up to Ladder War, which was on Friday night,
which will be released anytime in the next month or so.
It might be out by the time you're listening to this. It might not be. I haven't looked at the website in a while.
Ah.
But they don't do iPay-per-view because they want to have a good, flawless stream. So, you got the Ladder War match if you were in, where were they? In New Orleans, I guess?
New Orleans.
Were they in New Orleans? I don't even...
Yep, I think they were.
They were somewhere in the...
They were, because a lot of people were tweeting about it, so yeah. Right.
So yeah, they had the match. Adam Cole won. I heard a lot of negativity toward the finish, but I haven't seen any details, and obviously I haven't watched the show, so we'll talk about that more when it comes
yep.
out. Michael Elgin beat Kevin Steen, so he's going to wrestle Kazuchika Okada at the New Japan Super Shows in May,
wow.
which I cannot wait for. That is going to rule. It's going to be excellent. I think Twitter Face is attacking your Skype connection, by the way.
It probably is.
Oh, there we go. You're fine now. So
he's been all over the place. He's another one.
Yes. Although I got to say, I was watching WrestleMania, I was watching the Hall of Fame, he tried his best to attack the stream, and he failed. That stream held up for most of it. I got one.
Oh, there you go.
I got one mishap during the Hall of Fame. I just refreshed the page and it was fine. And I got one mishap during the at the very beginning of WrestleMania, and It worked out fine.
There you go. See, Twitterface was he was kind this weekend.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Hmm.
So, but anyway, yeah, Ring of Honor is very interesting for me right now. I was at a point a few months ago when I had zero interest in the product.
You fell out of like with them.
I did for a long time, and now they're doing things that I'm very much a fan of. I like the way they're changing their stuff up. They're recognizing that they need fresh matchups, and they're trying to deliver it by going together with other companies and trying to do these supercar type shows, which I approve of wholeheartedly.
I agree. Except TNA tried to do it and failed.
Well, they're TNA. They fill out most things.
Well, quite.
What'd you think Well, actually, you didn't watch this show, and I'm very sad about this. For us, I told you to watch the wrong show because Dragon Gate USA from Friday night.
Yes, yes.
It blew the roof off the proverbial building that is my mind. Is that show, man? It started off kind of slow. Some matches were kind of iffy, but by the end, holy Christ. Yeah, Chris Hero and Masato Tanaka just murdering each other in the semi-main. Murdering
each other. I read about this.
This was awesome. I don't even remember who won. I just remember it being awesome.
See, that's the art of a good wrestling match.
Holy Christ. It was like, if you like to watch guys hit each other really, really hard in the face with elbows, watch this. If you don't, then you probably want to skip it. But wow, I just couldn't stop raving. And then Johnny Gargano, who's held the title for like 800 and some odd days, defended
your heart out, CM Punk.
Yeah, defended the title against Ricochet. And this was the 1 year anniversary of Gargano turning heel against Shingo Takagi last year.
Ah, so it is.
And man, they just blew it away again. And then it built and built, and Ricochet hit the 630, and he beat Johnny Gargano for the title, and everyone just went nuts. People came out and they partied with Ricochet. It was just like, it was such an awesome moment.
By the way, I love the name Ricochet, just saying.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's cool. You know, he flies around. He ricochets.
Absolutely.
He was Pac's arch rival in Dragon Gate until...
He was. I remember this. We also watched the women, the Shimmer Show.
The Shimmer Show was... It was... You know, I just still feel like last year's Shimmer Show was much better. Shimmer 52 or 53, whatever it was. This was Shimmer 62. I mean, the matches were very good. There wasn't a single bad match on the show, but it felt like the main event particularly was it was quite.
It's your average 2 out of 3 falls match.
They did. It's very often that you see a long women's match because women have a stigma that they can't work very long, but B, because of that stigma, they don't get a chance to work very long, and so they can't work very long. These women got a chance, cheerleader Melissa and LaFisto, they got a chance to go out there and have themselves a long, drawn-out battle. And it was very good, but it didn't feel like what it should have been, which was the culmination of something, a giant main event.
Well, they kind of ruined it with the finish. And then the finish was, what's her face, Mercedes?
It was Mercedes Martinez. Who's cheerleader Melissa's sister-in-arms, if you will.
BFF.
And running in and costing LaFisto her shot. Which, I mean, they're doing a series of tapings this weekend. So it's...
As they kept reminding me.
Yeah, they're doing their series of tapings. And I guess that's more important to them. So they wanted... I am expecting to have the title switch next weekend.
Yep.
And I guess I should have figured that going in. But it was just... It felt a little counterproductive to me.
You know what? This show was lacking? Saraya Knight.
It was. You know, if you wanted to really sell the show to me, you should have done like instead of doing this match, you should have done like a tag match to set up for your...
Yeah, there you go.
Your show.
Made it like a TV tape. Make it like a Raw.
Yeah, exactly. And just get it as excited. Maybe have LaFisto pin Melissa in the ring and be like, ooh, you pinned her. Come to Berwyn next weekend, fans. Something, but... By the way, by the second half, Dave Prazak and Amber Gertner, who are the announcers.
They were drunk. They were gone.
It was excellent.
It was hilarious.
They hooked up with the Sandman, I think, during intermission. And
Austin was there.
Yeah, they got their drink on.
We had the Hall of Fame.
Yes, it was a good series of shows this weekend, man. He had all sorts of stuff. So I passed on DGUSA to watch the Hall of Fame.
Which was worth it, by the way.
Our first lady, Sam, by the way, congratulations. Finally a network subscriber. So big hand
to
her.
I know, right? Just in time, too.
Yes, just got it. By the way, notes on the red carpet, because I did watch a little bit of the red carpet.
Ah, yes, I was going to ask you about this.
There, the highlight for me was certain wrestlers out of character.
Who did you see? Like, give me an example.
Santino Marella in his very Canadian accent. And
he didn't say mascots.
And being angry at his daughter for her sticking out her tongue in a selfie they took. Excellent.
So he didn't say stuff like mascots.
He did not say things like that. Or the honky tonky man.
Yeah. I love mascots.
Randy Orton was there, and he was very chipper and joking, and it actually made me want to hang out with him. Like, wow.
I've heard him do interviews, though. He is like that.
It's like, this is the guy that I watch on Raw, and I fall asleep listening to. He's an interesting dude.
He is.
Why did they give him a script? Well, I know why. He seems like he would forget his lines. But still, he's an interesting guy.
Oh, no, come on. He's been better recently. Be fair.
I still don't. I haven't noticed a change the way you have.
Okay. I'm a little bit more of an Orton fan than you are.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know, man. It was fun. It was a great show. Lita came out and talked for a long time.
And for hours.
People were very upset about this. And it's the Hall of Fame, man.
Let them go.
Let her talk. Let her tell her story. Plus, I was fascinated because I love Lucha Libre.
I was too. No, I was too, to be fair.
If you listen, like, there are people on Twitter complaining, and I just said, if you're knocking Lita for this, then
what the hell would you do? What did you do when Flair was being inducted?
Yeah, didn't the Horseman do an hour? What? Where were the complaints?
Yes, the Horseman did an hour. The Rock did an hour just inducting his father.
So you know, I didn't get that, man. But I loved that. I loved
Jake. It was an interesting speech. It was. It really was.
She told her stories. Some of her jokes bombed, and I know exactly how that feels. It feels horrible. So I feel
she tried, though.
She did.
God bless Arn Anderson.
That's right. That guy's great. By the way, Arn Anderson was also doing he was also on the red carpet.
Oh, really?
And you know, you associate Arn Anderson with being the enforcer. This is mean,
angry man. Guy.
He is the most eloquent man and the most articulate fella that you ever listen to do an interview.
Yes.
It's amazing. He's like, well, I do believe that this is going to be a Hall of Fame, and people are having an amazing opportunity. I'm like, what? Give him a spine buster.
Yeah.
It was great.
Dump that Renee Young on her back. Do something.
Byron Saxton.
By the way, kudos to the fans who were very respectful during this Hall of Fame.
Yes. There was one more point from the red carpet, too. Byron Saxton is terrible at interacting with people. He is horrible. He needs to work on that.
Anyway. He needs to go down to the performance center.
Yeah, he just needs to, like, stay on commentary or something. Because he's, like, when it comes to interacting and having interpersonal connections with his interviewees, it's really awkward. He might
so
as well
Lita.
Be doing them on Skype. Yeah, Lita is up.
What about Skype? What?
They might as well have been doing the interviews on Skype.
Well, quite. With a delay?
Yeah.
After Lita, we had a very, very emotional Hall of Fame induction.
Oh my God, dude. I expected this to be tough. Mick Foley expected it to be tough. He said, please don't cut to me during Jake Roberts. He asked, no reaction shots, please. And
he didn't let us down, did he?
Oh my God, Jake Roberts came out, and he has an amazing story. DDP, first of all, came out.
He's an amazing human being.
You can say whatever you want about DDP, because he is an excellent salesman. He wants to sell his yoga and stuff, and that matters to him. He didn't mention it once here.
No, not once.
He just seems like he's a wonderful guy. And he's very grateful.
It's not, everyone thinks the whole positivity thing is a gimmick. It's not. That's how he is.
Yeah. I like when Jake Roberts was making fun of him, and he's like, have you ever had a bad day, Dallas? But anyway, this was great, dude. DDP told the story of taking Jake in and trying to get him clean and all that.
And losing a snake in the bathroom?
Yeah, losing a snake and Jake leaving it there for 3 days. It was awesome. So then Jake came out and, you know, he told his stories, and it was so goddamn sad.
Mm-hmm.
It just, He talked about it to the end, dude, wanting at one point to commit suicide, being afraid to. It was really heavy.
Pull his grandkids up on stage?
Yeah, it was a point when it was just so heavy, though. Like, it was like, God, please, like, bring it back, man. We need a laugh right now.
And he did. He did bring it back.
He did. He brought it back, and by the end,
And you know what? Again, the crowd were very respectful when they were silent. There was no hand. You know, sometimes you hear those random shouts.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna get those at any live show.
Yeah.
But these, you know, these fans were quite good.
Yeah, they were better than the New York lot last year.
Well, it's New York. What do you really expect civility out of New York?
Well, quite.
I'm
but,
turning
you know.
Heel in New York right now, but really.
Well, quite.
So Jake, like he killed. If you have the network, please go back and watch this. This is amazing.
Yes. You know he's worth the Hall of Fame DVD alone. To be
absolutely.
Fair,
absolutely, it broke my heart. It made me feel good by the end.
Wow, his grandkids were tiny when they were born.
Yeah.
And then we have the randomest Hall of Fame induction ever in the history of life.
Well, first you had El Torito coming in with some comic relief.
Well, I think you had to after that.
Yeah, I was totally fine with that. People were very upset. I said, calm down. It's fine.
King is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah. Was Mr. T next?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Mr. T.
Oh, Jesus.
He came out and he said, all right, I'm thankful to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. And that's all
he's
he said
wrestling,
about
wrestling, which amused me.
And that's all he said about wrestling for the next 25 minutes.
He didn't even mention WrestleMania 1.
It was the
he
best.
He didn't mention Hulk Hogan. He didn't mention Piper. He didn't mention anything.
Ultimate Warrior was in the back going, man, this fucking crazy speech. I don't know. I don't know if I could top that.
It's like, what? He was preaching on stage.
Talking about how much he loved Jesus and how much he loved his mother and. That was it.
He's talking about his mother for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, I love Kane. Kane is my hero.
Oh, man, it was so good. Mr. T's mother had a Twitter account with 85 followers after an hour. He talked.
Mr. T's mom.
People started chanting for Mr. T's mother at one point. Thank you, mother.
King said how much he loves his Mr. T's mother.
I was waiting for Mr. T to end with the line that I pity the fool who doesn't love Mr. T's mother, but he got cut off before he could do that.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, so I guess in stand-up comedy, we have a light that tells you when you should start wrapping it up. In WWE Hall of Fame, you have Kane, who is
Kane.
Big, giant man. Who will come out. I like the light better.
I wanted Bad News Barrett, if I'm honest.
Oh, I'm afraid I have some bad news.
Your mother really isn't that great.
And you have a minute left, so wrap it up. Damn it, that would have been great.
I know.
But anyway, Mr. T was absolutely nuts here. I had so much fun watching it. It was like, okay, when are you going to end this?
I wanted to hit him.
Yeah, it was the complete opposite of Warrior. I didn't want him to stop.
No, I didn't want Warrior to stop it. Please, Mr. T, I'm begging you. Can someone please? Hogan, for the first time in your life, do something.
Roddy Piper comes up, punches him.
Yeah.
Ah, that's revenge for when you knocked me out of the ring.
Where's Paul Orndorff when you need him?
Oh, man. So, yeah, that was Mr. T. It was kind of nuts. They did Paul Bearer. And they had Kane.
Again, I'm going to say it, and I've said it before on it. Kane just seems like a very, very nice man.
He is. For a guy who plays a psychopath who likes to set Jim Ross on fire and rape corpses and things, he's a very nice guy.
He is. I was like, what? Another story about the ski mask, by the way.
Yes. Kane can drive.
Oh, it's a miracle.
Again, go back and watch this thing, man. It's so good. And then they had the kids accept the Hall of Fame.
And they did the catchphrase.
And they did the oh yes things.
And then we had the shock of all shocks. He was there. The dead man was there.
Oh, that's right. He did appear. Yeah, he was there. Totally
the first
in
time ever in life.
Yeah, totally in character. Did his thing. It was very nice. People loved it.
By the way, another thing. I love the WWE promo videos for these. They're awesome.
They're great. They are very good. You had...
the Calons.
Oh, God, yeah. The Divas match.
Kalisto's an idiot.
He knows he's not going back, so he... didn't care.
He's an idiot, though.
I thought it was funny. I was fine with it.
Oh, no, didn't we have Razor Ramon before that?
Oh, yeah. He was there, too. A nothing induction. He said, like, five words.
Yeah. But Kevin Nash was more funnier than, it was better than Skull.
Yeah.
The Bible said.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, Razor was there. That's how unenthused I was about Razor Ramon. And then, yeah, the clones. It was, you know, it was what you would expect from Carlos Colon. I still don't think he belongs there, but if it gets me a Bruiser Brody DVD, then I don't care what you do.
I'm not going to repeat what you said to me on Twitter.
That's right. I just want the, like, I want the Bruiser Brody DVD the way you want your Sting DVDs.
I think that's I know.
Sorry. I know. Bastards.
I know. And then,
yes, Linda McMahon appeared and she talked about Ultimate Warrior, about Jim.
She was very
Warrior.
Articulate, I thought.
Yeah. And then the Ultimate Warrior appeared and he spoke for 1,000 amazing years.
I wanted him to run out on stage, though.
Yeah. And yeah. I wish they
had run around the stage for a few times and then, I don't know, shake the stage maybe.
Yeah, find a way to shake the pillars or whatever.
Yeah.
But he started, he did his patented Ultimate Warrior growl.
He did.
And people loved it. And then, you know, for the first 10 minutes, he was very normal and articulate, and I hated it. I was like, no!
But then he went back into warrior mode.
Yes, I was waiting for that. I don't
you know
like
what?
When
what
Jim
is Triple
Warrior...
H like, the fixer of broken relationships in the WWE?
I think that's what he does. I think that's his...
what the hell?
Yeah. It was Paul who patched up, apparently, said Warrior.
He did the same with Bruno last year. Like, what? Are we misjudging Triple H here? Are we missing something? Is he really, like, the nicest guy in the world or something?
I'm sure he's a joy to be around. He's just, he also has an ego.
Yeah.
I just want him to patch up things with WWE and Martha. That would be a miracle.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. But Owen needs his spot in the Hall of Fame, damn it.
Yeah, he does. Well, so does the Bulldog, but that's another story.
I just watched, they were showing WrestleMania 10 before,
What a match, huh?
Yeah, man. I'd seen it before, but I didn't really appreciate it the way I did this time. Holy Christ, what a match. And then they topped it. Yeah,
it.
Yeah, you claimed to like the SummerSlam match better, so I have never seen that one. So I need to go back and watch that.
A 5-star match.
Is it legit?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I do need to go back and see that match.
But then, yeah, the Warrior, he's a very interesting human being. I want him to write a book.
Hasn't he written a book?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And he said the two words that he wasn't going to say.
Self-destruction, yeah. Yeah. His whole spiel kept going back to the DVD lied. You know, I was a nice guy. I conducted myself like a professional. He was just... condemning WWE for putting that DVD out.
Which is fair enough, because it was a really damaging DVD.
It was horrible. If you go back and watch that, never in a million years would you think, this guy's going to come back someday. It was just that disparaging.
Yeah.
But he was there, and he was telling us that the DVD was wrong. He also made fun of Jerry McDivitt for getting his ass kicked by the wildlife people, which was awesome.
Yes.
He said WWF, and they bleeped out F. And
I don't know why. They have the rights.
Well, I think maybe they have the rights to previous footage, but they don't have the rights to saying it now. It's probably one of those complicated
I love that. Things. He got his ass kicked by the wildlife people.
And then I thought, great job, Warrior. You just undid 12 years of branding.
Good job.
12 years of get the F
he
out.
He is right, though. I still have trouble with it sometimes. Yeah. I'm used to the WWF still. It's one of those things. I grew up with it.
Get the F out for us.
All right.
But anyway,
get the F in F out.
Yeah. It was great. He talked for a long time. He brought his kids up. His kids are also named Warrior. Can you
not
imagine?
Hellwig. Not Hellwig.
Not Hellwig. Warrior. Can you imagine being in class and the girl next to you?
Indie Warrior.
Her last
Indie
name
Indie Warrior. Get it?
Warrior.
Indie Warrior.
Oh my God, Indie Warrior!
I just realized that now. That's her name.
That is amazing.
That's an amazing name.
Indie Warrior.
Indie Warrior.
I'm sure there's been an indie warrior in some random indie promotion.
I'm sure there has.
Like the Ultimate Striker.
He mentioned the dingo gimmick too.
Yeah, he did. He mentioned Sting to a huge pop, which I'm sure you were happy about.
I was. To counter that, no one knew who Red Bastion was.
Yeah, but do you really expect anybody who watches WWE to know who Red Bastion is?
Still. Oh well.
Yeah. It was
Did you notice the Hardys didn't get any reaction? It was hilarious.
They were even mentioned?
Yeah, Team Extreme.
Yeah, but I don't think they should ever said the Hardys. Maybe she did, I don't know.
She did, the Hardy Boys and the Edge and Christian got a huge ovation.
Yeah. Well, nobody cares about the Hardy Boys. Where even are they these days?
Well, he's Willow. He's kidnapping people.
He's kidnapping Spud and then laughing about it.
Such a nice man he is, isn't he?
He's great.
But yeah, and the stream held up, right? So you had one problem with it. One issue.
Only one problem. And it held out fine. So sorry, Twitter face. I mean, you tried your best, but you failed.
Hmm. That's right. He kidnapped one of your boys and got into the stadium late, didn't he?
Oh, that's right. Now he has a sore thumb.
Yeah.
He has a pulled thumb ligament.
Oh dear. What did Twitterface do?
Damn you, Twitterface.
Anyway,
we'll have words on Saturday, you bastard.
Hmm.
All right, and then do you want to talk about Mania?
Let's talk about Mania.
WrestleMania, man. This is this is the show that everybody waits for all year. It's the show that all the storylines build to, whether they plan them or not.
And right.
This was a very unlikely WrestleMania. I think in 20 years, Joe Dombrowski is going to go back
and look at the WrestleMania theory
and make a 6-hour documentary on how CM Punk walking out was all the work.
Yeah, yeah, he will.
Because it couldn't have fallen together in a better way for Daniel Bryan. He had a huge opportunity here to wrestle Triple H, main event, main event the show. That wouldn't have happened if CM Punk had stayed the company.
Exactly.
We'd have Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Can you imagine that? That was their plan in February.
I know. And this was the WrestleMania where stars were born. We said it before, but this was true. This show, so many stars were born.
This was the complete antithesis to the last two WrestleManias. The last two were all about the part-timers coming in. This was the show where they made stars. You're absolutely right about that. 6 hours of coverage for us.
They promised you seven, but
they
six.
They promised me seven, but whatever. I'll take the six. Just ridiculous.
You had the pre-show with Michaels and all them.
Yeah, they were all talking and whatnot. And
I'm glad they didn't throw to them during the show. Just saying.
Yeah. They had the tag match, which was the Usos, the Ryback, Soul, the Real Americans, and Los Matadors.
I don't know why they were in there, but let's gloss over that fact.
That's just it feels like a rib on the Rhodes Brothers, to be honest.
Horrible. Hi, dog.
It was fun. It was a fun tag match. There were a lot of good eliminations. The final two were the Usos and the Americans. Antonio Cesaro is an amazing human being.
He's an amazing human being.
Oh my goodness. So they finally lost and the Usos retained, and then they had the beef with Swagger and Cesaro and
he swung him, didn't he?
Swagger put the Patriot lock on Cesaro, and then Zeb told him to stop, and then Cesaro gave Zeb the swing, and everyone was happy.
I love the swing.
Yeah, it's great. I wish he would have swung El Torito still.
Me too, but, you know, you can't have it all. But then, then the most hilarious moment of WrestleMania in the history of life.
With Hogan?
Yes.
This was awesome. So Hogan appears for WrestleMania.
He does his "let me tell you something, brother" thing.
And then he talks about how happy he is to be in the Silver Dome. Excellent. So
No, and he doesn't say it once. He says it twice.
So goddamn excellent. And the crowd boos him out of the building until he says, I'm sorry, brothers.
I'm just so excited.
I'm still thinking about slamming Andre the Giant, brother.
But what the... hell?
Vince McMahon must have been pissed.
Vince McMahon must have been throwing things.
Although they did turn it into something better, so.
They did.
They made it work for them. It was good. So, yes, you had Hogan, and then you had Steve Austin come out.
Who didn't come out to a bigger reaction than I thought he would.
I think it's the stadium effect making its presence felt.
No. You can't do that, because you heard when The Rock came out. Well, that place blew up.
They probably got smart and turned the mics up or something.
Maybe.
Michael Cole was like, is he really here? And it's like, well, you know, he was only advertised to be here. So
yeah, they broke that news only on Friday.
Michael Cole should know. He's a journalist.
Well, exactly, as he likes to tell us.
The Rock appeared. I don't think he was. I didn't even know he was there. And again, I haven't read the dirt.
No, I knew he was going to be. There was word backstage that he was there. I didn't know what he was going to do, but
okay.
Knew he was there. Well, I was waiting for Austin to stun somebody. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, same here. But
I wanted it to be Hogan, but you know.
You can't stun Hogan. He'll break.
Well, you can't stun The Rock. He's Hercules.
That's true. You can't stun Hercules.
Yeah.
He's a proven fact, proven by science.
Exactly. He's Hercules.
I would have loved for them to bring out Bruno first and announce
Hulk Hogan. They should have, right?
And then you could have had just the visual of like
four different decades.
Yeah, represented in the ring. That would have been so cool.
Although Rock and Austin overlap, but Austin was more 90s than Rock was more this decade.
Yeah, so I think 2000s. It would have worked perfectly, but mm-hmm. They didn't do that. It was really cool though to have that, and they. I don't even know what they said. Just the
it was
idea
a fun.
That,
it was just a fun moment.
Yeah, just the idea that the three of them were there together was so cool.
By the way, Rock and you can tell who has been in the company recently because Rock didn't fluff his lines once. Austin and Hogan, however.
Well, yeah. You would know this better than I do. Has there ever been a time where those three were in the ring together?
Yes, 2002.
Okay.
During the remember Austin and Hall had the same had a match at the same night that Rock and what's his name Rock and Hogan did. Mm. Remember before the face turn, Hogan and Hall went in the NWO.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it was a very cool moment. And so you ended that off.
And then I was right.
Yes, you were absolutely right. I still think they should have done it my way. But this was still cool. Triple H and
with
Daniel
awesome
Bryan.
Entrance.
Triple H had an amazing entrance. From the Castle of Grayskull.
He-Man.
Oh my god. It was a great entrance. Stephanie McMahon was on point. What with her annoyingness and whatnot.
Yes. Her annoying levels were up.
They worked a very technical match, and it was very basic. Triple H working the shoulder as I knew he would. He with the crossface chicken wing and stuff. They told a really good story.
I thought it was a very, very good match.
Yeah, Bryan got his moves in. He reversed into submissions. It was totally technically sound match, which, you know, but they did have their fights because they do hate each other. So they did do their brawls and whatnot.
The brawling thing.
It was good. It was very
There's some good outside the spot where the barricade was interesting.
Yes. He slammed his shoulder into the barricade. There was a spot close to the end, though, where Bryan was trying to go for a move. Triple H grabbed him and pedigreed him, and there was no
reaction.
Well, not even that, but there was no. Usually when Triple H does the pedigree, there's like a moment of tension first where he sets you up and he mocks the crowd before he does it.
Does the DX thing, maybe.
He just grabbed him, did it, and went for the pin, and there was no time for the crowd to breathe. So when Daniel Bryan kicked out of the pedigree, which is a huge deal because it's Triple H's pedigree, it felt like he kicked out of a move.
And it wasn't like the normal pedigree. You know where they have like a few seconds to kind of. Triple H is so tired he couldn't barely move.
Yeah.
He went straight for the cover.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was cool. It was still a good visual, I'm sure, but it just kind of felt psychologically like, oh, well, it's like he. Daniel Bryan hit a bunch of suplexes earlier. It kind of felt like the same.
I did enjoy that sequence of the German suplex.
The Germans, yeah.
Mm.
They had some really good stuff this match. The main thing was that Daniel Bryan got his shoulder destroyed. He managed to come back and hit the Nakamura knee and pin Triple H. And then Triple H killed him after the match.
Which was fair enough, because that had to kind of happen.
By the way, they went 26 minutes here, according to Dave Meltzer.
Really?
26 minutes, and Bryan was still working.
That is.
Isn't that awesome? I guess you were right about somebody going long.
Yep.
Yeah, so.
Then we had the Battle Royal.
Yeah. Actually, no, we didn't. We had the six-man.
Oh, the six-man. Which is a glorified squash match,
yes.
Right?
Basically, what happened was the Shield came out, the Outlaws came out, Kane came out, and then the Shield beat them in one.
And Kane got one. Kane did nothing. He got one. He got speared, and that was it. He did nothing in this match. Billy Gunn's hurt, by the way. I don't know how.
He is. It was great. I liked it.
It was very good. It was fun, and the Shield are over.
Yep, they're baby faces, and again. You know, they're supposed to be broken up by SummerSlam, but I don't want them to.
They're the Shield. I'm going to miss the era of the six-man tag.
I am, absolutely.
Okay, then we have the stupid Battle Royal.
I didn't think it was as bad as I thought it would be.
I actually, you know, I'm not going to... I enjoyed it a little bit. As much as I hate to say it.
No Rusev, as everybody predicted, including myself, that he would win. I was very surprised by that. In fact, that famous Reddit guy who predicts things had predicted Rusev.
Really?
Yes. Dolphins 1925 or whatever he is. So, anyway, this was, I mean, for the first little while, it was just a bunch of geeks getting thrown out.
But then Kofi did something ridiculous again.
Well, yeah, Kofi kept his Battle Royal trend going where he got eliminated.
He did something stupid.
Yeah. It was fine. And then it got eliminated for real, and it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Was when it came down to Big Show and Cesaro.
No, you know what my favorite spot was? Rey Mysterio begging Big Show, and Big Show's like, all right, whatever. Yeah. All right, then, I'm not going to... I won't throw you out, fine.
He's like, come on, we were a tag team for 2 weeks, remember?
Yeah. Oh, it'd be... someone else will throw you out if I don't do it anyway. Yeah, fine. Okay.
That's fine. A great ending sequence with Cesaro and Big Show, with Cesaro looking like an amazing star and scoop slamming Big Show up and over the ropes and winning. That was
Can you go back to his old theme music now, though?
With the Swiss rap?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? So Cesaro is your winner.
He wins that big, massive trophy.
Battle Royal. It looks like they're going to do something with him, hopefully.
Let's hope so.
Cena versus Bray Wyatt happened next.
Oof.
People were very critical of the match. I loved it, man. I thought it was great.
I thought it was very well. I thought it was psychologically, it was so well done.
It's very rare in wrestling where you can tell a relatively new story. It's always, you know, the stories in wrestling have pretty much become archetypes, and you could just go in and fill in the formula. This was kind of different. This was Bray Wyatt. He wanted John Cena to
hit him, finish him,
be crazy and not be John Cena. Basically, he wanted him to destroy him. I'll compare it to in ECW when Cactus Jack was doing the gimmick that he didn't want to be hardcore anymore.
Yes, when he wanted to be technical.
Yeah, and Terry Funk was trying to bring it about. That's kind of what I felt in this match. And it was awesome, dude. They had one spot where he brought the chair in.
The chair in and gave it to Cena.
He gave it to Cena. He said, hit me with the chair. And Cena ended up hitting Eric Rowan with the chair. There was a lot of really cool spots in this match. Very psychological and stuff. And Bray Wyatt.
That's what I'm saying. I enjoyed the psychological aspect of it. I'm sure people were critical because they are when it's Cena.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that it could be anybody. But if they're in the room with Cena, the fans are going to hate it. Or they're going to pick it apart.
Bray Wyatt did a very, like, he really came through as a guy who can contend with John Cena. And that's what his first WrestleMania, that's what it should have been. So it was perfect, I thought.
He was really, really good. I enjoyed his interactions with Cena, the getting on the knees and screaming, and I enjoyed all that.
90% of the match was Bray Wyatt kicking his ass, you know?
Yeah.
It was great, man. It was really good. And John Cena got his win, which, again, is...
It has to happen.
It's the story, dude. That's how the story had to go, because the whole story was that this hero, John Cena, was starting to doubt himself, and he needed to not doubt himself.
By the way,
he won.
This is only the second time in John Cena's career that he hasn't been in a title match at WrestleMania.
Wow. What was the first?
The Rock one. The first
one. That's right. That was. Wow. Damn. He's got a great history of title matches then.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they brought out the Hall of Fame guys. Warrior got his entrance.
Again, I wanted him to run around the ring and shake the ropes and do all that, but he didn't.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then.
And you had the match, Undertaker and Brock Lesnar.
Then.
We talked about the outcomes and stuff, but it wasn't really a good match.
It was that, you know, that's what irritated me a little bit more than it should. It's like, it wasn't even a good match. It was basically Brock Lesnar killing Undertaker for the majority of it.
Yeah, he got a couple spots in Undertaker, but...
Yeah, he did his last ride. He did the chokeslam. He got the Hell's Gate in a couple of times. That was it. He didn't even do old school.
It was really, really slow. There was one spot where he went for old school up top, and then Lesnar caught him on the shoulders and gave him the F5. That was one near fall. Thing is, though, like, with the near falls, people didn't even buy it. You could tell that people didn't buy that Lesnar could win.
That crowd was not into this match at all. I mean, we're the last, I want to say the last six or seven Manias since the Batista one.
Mm-hmm.
All of Taker's matches at WrestleMania have been awesome.
Yes.
And I think my gripe with it is, I wouldn't have minded if it was Shawn Michaels.
Of course you wouldn't.
I wouldn't have even minded if it was Triple H.
Of course you wouldn't.
I wouldn't even mind if it was CM Punk.
I would have. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Because it was a good match. You see what I'm saying?
I understand. I think what a lot of people are critical of is that what does Brock Lesnar benefit from breaking the streak?
He is that one, I guess. That one.
But really, how much longer is he going to be working with WWE?
Well, he's not. I don't know.
I mean, do you want to... Like, for me, it felt, honestly, and I know this is a horrible thing to say because the streak has meant so much to wrestling. So much to WrestleMania.
Not even just to wrestling. It's meant so much to people. But forget the wrestling. It's meant so much to just general fans. If there's one constant there is in... The Undertaker.
So, I hate to say this, but it felt almost like they're building to something else. There wasn't really an impact here, like, this is finality. It felt like Brock Lesnar is headed somewhere else, and I don't know where that could be.
And we were all expecting the Undertaker to win, and then the Sting thing to happen.
Yeah, yeah, so I don't know what the deal is.
Now, the Sting was there. He is in New Orleans. We know this.
Now, there's a theory going around for us, and I wanted to share this with you. And you may have seen this. You may have not. But I enjoyed this theory. This was pitched by the Solo Monster, Jason Solomon on Twitter.
Yes.
Who does his Sound Off podcast, which is quite good. He would like to see Undertaker coming out. And I don't know if he can now that he's hurt. But Undertaker coming out and basically suggesting that he's ready to retire. And the fans going, boo, no, no, don't retire, Undertaker, we love you. And then...
Not like that, I guess.
And then Sting will appear and basically suggest something that would say, not so fast. And that's all. That's all we get for, I don't know, however long until the next WrestleMania.
Yeah, but will it mean anything now?
I think, storyline-wise... If you had Undertaker versus Sting, does the streak really matter at that point? It's Undertaker and Sting.
Yeah, but the Undertaker and WrestleMania go hand in hand. It's just the streak.
Sure, but nobody would believe that Sting could break the streak. Like, it would make no sense for him to do it. So I think the fact that you could do it now is Taker and Sting. It's like these are two guys who in their respective companies were the dark, gothic... The
shadows, yes.
The archetypes of darkness for their... promotions, having them wrestle each other, I think it's a great final thing for Undertaker. It's a way for him to get his win back.
And they're both at home. Well, I mean, not home. I mean, Sting will be at home, California.
Yeah, and it's a way for Undertaker to end his WrestleMania career on a win. So I think it'd be a great thing to do.
You're assuming that he's going to go into the Hall of Fame next year, right?
I would expect so. I mean, I don't.
Well, the thing is that because it's California, they're thinking of The Rock. So would you have The Rock and Taker in the same class?
The Rock's not in the Hall of Fame yet?
No.
Wow. I don't know about that. I would wait on The Rock.
But it's California and Hollywood and all that nonsense.
Well, no, they're not in Hollywood next year, though. They're in.
Well, I know that, but you know what I'm saying. They'll do the. I don't know where they'll hold the ceremony.
Yeah, it'll probably be in Santa Clara area. It's about 5 hours north of Hollywood, so I don't think they'll be doing that. But I mean,
well, the thing is, they were saying The Rock and the NWO, so.
That would be a big Hall of Fame, man.
This is it, and would you put The Undertaker in there with that? I want him to have his moment on his own.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, if you had to compete with The Rock, I feel like The Undertaker would play second fiddle.
And you don't do that. I don't want that.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. They should induct Dave Meltzer into the Hall of Fame next year.
They should.
You know, he has helped so many storylines.
He has. And he used to work for them as well. Don't forget this.
We'll see, man. that hurt, though. I do want to see Taker and Sting, though. But to me, it doesn't even matter that the streak... To me, it's even more believable now that the streak is broken. Because now, you know, it's storyline-wise, it makes sense that Undertaker would not retire to do this one last dream match. And for Sting, it's his opportunity to prove that he's belonged to WrestleMania all this time and has never been called.
Well, something will go down because tonight is usually the night where they reset everything. Something usually happens.
I do hope that he comes back, that Undertaker is able to come out and do something. I hope he's not too bad.
I mean, even if he doesn't have that match with Sting, at least say goodbye.
Yeah, something. We'll see.
I'm at the stage with, you know, this is kind of like the end of my era, if that makes any sense. And they need to do something to keep me hooked, because otherwise I might fade.
All right. So
let's gloss over the next match, because I don't even want to reference it.
Yeah, we mentioned it before, but yes, AJ won the title, or she kept the title.
Whatever.
I would have given it to Brie. That would have been awesome visual.
It would have.
That would have been really adorable. And also for the reality show, they could have done something.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up one spot, because there was a spot where Brie and Nikki started to hit each other.
Fight.
And I'm sure that's going to be like a season-long storyline on Total Divas. Just watch. That one stupid spot is going to give you a year's worth of entertainment on that show.
Do you have any idea what Vicky Guerrero was yelling?
No.
I was stunned still, so I don't know.
I do know, though, that she's done after WrestleMania, apparently.
Who's going to general manage SmackDown?
Who cares? It's SmackDown.
Well, quite. Why the hell was Brad Maddox in the Battle Royal?
No.
Sorry, I just thought of that.
My favorite backstage segment of all time, by the way, was Roddy Piper shaking hands with Booker T. I'm not Booker T. I'm an idiot. Mr. T.
Mr. T.
And while shaking his hand, he yells, "Ah!" So awesome.
It kind of brought me back to life, if that makes any sense.
That was so good, yeah.
And then...
Bruno,
and Brett.
Dusty Rhodes, Bob Backlund, Bret Hart, they were all there.
Yes.
And Harley Race was there, too.
Yeah, how can you forget him?
I'm a monster.
You can't forget King Harley Race. That gimmick.
So, yes, Daniel Bryan is the world champion.
Indeed he is.
He was beaten up during this match. He came out
not unconscious.
He did the yes chant with one hand. They did the stretcher gimmick.
They had Triple H bring out his old friend Sledgy.
Yep. Sledgy the Hammer.
Sledgy the Hammer. At Sledgy Hammer on Twitter.
Oh. So yes, he took a lot of beating.
He did.
Batista and Orton did their singles match for a while, and the fans just no reaction. And I thought, man, this was their actual idea to actually do this match as the main event at one point. Can you imagine?
That crowd, no. Do you remember how the crowd died after Michaels Taker won for the Triple H Orton match?
Yeah.
That would have happened.
Oh, man. That was brutal. So anyway, Brian came back, of course, and he put Orton in the Yes Lock, and Orton was able to escape thanks to Big Dave's assistance.
Yeah, Big Dave.
Then Brian eventually hit the knees on both guys, and he hit Triple H with a sledgehammer. People loved it. And then he put Batista in the Yes Lock, and Batista tapped out.
If you recall, when they did this with Benoit, Shawn Michaels tapped out.
Sure. So I guess they're gonna go do another series of Batista and Brian and Orton matches.
Well, you've got Extreme Rules coming up. They're gonna do something.
Yeah, or Orton wasn't pinned. Again, I would have liked them to beat Orton here and end that story, and then you can have a relatively fresh thing with Orton with Brian and Batista, because you haven't really.
You haven't explored that avenue yet.
Yeah, so you could explore that.
But I still maintain they're going down the Triple H Batista Royal Road somewhere down the line.
Yeah, but not next. I still don't think next month. I'm sure that'll be at
Well, then you got to turn Triple H face, right?
No.
Well, it's not going to work otherwise.
Yeah. Triple H is such a good heel. He could make Batista babyface. Don't worry about it.
You think?
Do you not have faith in your Triple H?
I have faith in Triple H. I don't have faith in Batista being a face. That crowd hates him. There's no way in hell they can do it.
They hate him because he's not Daniel Bryan. I think when he's not involved with Daniel Bryan, it'll be fine, especially against Triple H. I don't care either way, is my point. So anyway,
Vince is going to be back anytime now.
We keep saying that, but what? Why?
Well, I don't know, but they keep playing up the owner of the company gimmick thing. I guess he'll be back.
I guess they'll do something else dastardly. Maybe they'll try and strip Brian of the title tonight, and Vince will be like, "No, I will forbid it."
No, damn it! I've already lost one legend, and I can't have CM Punk back. Damn it! Give him the title.
Give him the title, Monsoon. By the way, real quick note: I was watching WrestleMania 10. Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler are awesome together. I just felt like I needed to say that. They're so good together.
Because Jerry Lawler says some horrible things to Vince.
And Vince is like, he is the epitome of good guy-ness. Just like, well, I don't know. Like remember when Ted DiBiase bought Santa Claus?
Yeah.
And Vince is like, oh my God, he bought Santa Claus.
That was, by the way, one of the few WrestleManias that Undertaker missed. He was an at 10.
Yes. As you were so quickly to point out with Hogan and Austin.
Neither was he.
Yeah.
Austin, you know your wrestling history. I know you do.
Leave Austin alone. He's going to come stun you.
I was waiting for someone to get... I was waiting for JBL to actually do it. He wasn't at 10.
What I would have liked to see for the end of
the only? Am I the only one that noticed that, by the way?
That he wasn't at 10?
Yeah.
Nobody else cared. It was Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan in the ring together.
I cared.
Well,
you need facts. There's facts.
You need to prioritize a little bit.
Facts. It's Hulk Hogan. What do you expect?
I would have loved to see WrestleMania 20 or whatever this was, WrestleMania 30, go off the air with the same way 10 did, with all the wrestlers partying with Bret Hart in the ring.
That would
have been awesome, but they didn't do that. But they said had like this great celebration. So it
had the streamer thing. Yeah, but we saw that celebration of SummerSlam, kinda.
Well, until he got killed.
But
I don't know, man. Again, this was a really hard WrestleMania. I think it is probably the best WrestleMania in a very long time.
Although the heartbreak image just won't allow me to rewatch it for a long time.
It's gonna be really hard, man. But everything on the show was very good, except for like the stuff that was not meant to be good anyway. So it was good. It was great. I loved it.
We had very few though of those playground, those which you were worried about.
Yeah. Oh yeah, those videos. Mm-hmm. Do we have any?
No, not that I'm aware of.
I don't think we did. Good. They were all over the network, but they weren't on the show. So good.
Indeed.
And just the whole weekend. Was
very fun weekend.
I look forward to the weekend every year, even though I can't be there live. Next year we will be. I really do hope you can make it out and join us for Oz, because it's going to be a great time.
My future is still in I'm not sure yet.
We'll see, man. It's gonna be an adventure next year at Mania, and hopefully we can share it with as many people as we can. So that's it, y'all. Again, thank you for joining us through the journey that is WrestleMania weekend every year. It is the best weekend of the year if you're a wrestling
fan. It's amazing. It's an amazing weekend. It's an amazing feeling because every wrestling fan is on the same page.
Yeah, it's great. Everybody wants to see wrestling. And look, there's wrestling that we can see.
Exactly.
So that's all. We're going to be doing Colch My Pop this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. You went Twitter face, huh?
Yeah, we're going at. We're going to have at it, man.
We've got Throwback Vibes. No, that's next week. Sorry.
Yeah, Throwback Vibes is going to be a week from Thursday. So we'll have that for you.
And then we'll be back to see what happened on Raw.
Yeah, more stuff on Raw. I'm going to have to watch a week of WCW. No, a month's worth of WCW in about
a week.
I haven't started.
It's all right. I've got to do Raw. And oh, yeah, I've only got to do Raw.
We should really tell Steve. All right. So that's
it. We should.
At Des Del Gadillo on Twitter if you want to keep up with things. I've been crazy tweeting about wrestling. So if you're listening to this, and you probably don't mind it so much, but if again you've come in from the comedy side and thought you might give this a chance, I'm not as crazy about wrestling during the rest of the year. I am a little bit.
No, you know what? We get jaded during the other parts of the year sometimes.
Yeah. So anyway,
it's only this and SummerSlam. I feel
for us is at the Wisp.
I didn't tweet that much yesterday.
No, and you can find Steve at MonkeyPusher69.
He actually sat there and watched.
Did he really?
Well, he tweeted me straight away when the Taker thing happened.
I wonder if you.
I don't know why everyone wanted to tweet me at that specific time.
Oh, dude, I could hear your heart breaking over here. I just heard a snap, and I was like, oh, poor Fraz.
I think my first words were, and I didn't even think about it, I'm done. Yeah. I nearly turned off.
That's awful.
I'm like, I can't.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/thingsdeathsays. If you're over 50, then you're probably on Facebook, so check that out.
Yeah.
And on iTunes, subscribe to the shows, and you'll get every show sent straight to your podcast device.
Your generic device.
Yeah, so you get the People's Podcast, you'll get Culture My Pop for all you comedy enthusiasts, and you'll get Throwback Vibes for all you fans of old school wrestling.
As Mr. T liked to tell me.
Yeah. So that's it. We're done. Leave us a nice review on iTunes. Tell us how great we are. Tell us how much you enjoyed the coverage of WrestleMania weekend. And if you don't, well, Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.